Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Follow on Twitter at TweetJHood.
What's up and welcome in. This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app. Open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Follow me on Instagram, on IGJHood. Follow the station on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago, as well as Snapchat SnapJHood. Glad to have you in today. We're going to hear from friend of the program, a guy that covers the NBA like a blanket. Ryan Hollins is going to be with us in a few moments and getting his thoughts on what is going on around the NBA. As we started our show, we talked a lot about the Bears and what is going on with the team. And this offseason is already interesting. We're not even to the draft yet. And the reason why that we can talk about it is because whatever happens in the draft, whatever the Bears are going to decide to do, ultimately we know the players that will be in place that's going to be making impact plays. And it's got to be from the quarterback position with Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky, whoever that is, because Trubisky was so poor with his 17 touchdown passes and 32nd in yards per pass attempt and 28th in total quarterback rating. These things have to change. And that's why Nick Foles is here. He's paid. He was traded for. So that means that at some point he's going to see time. And just because Nick Foles is here, just because Jimmy Graham, who's long on the tooth, is here, just because you see Robert Quinn, who I think can be an impact player for the Bears on the defensive side, and Mingo and Bush and Trevathan re-signed, just because these things are happening, doesn't mean that the Bears are one of the top teams in the NFC. The focus for me is not the Bears and whether they can beat the Packers. Can they beat the Packers twice? It's a successful season. Can they beat the Vikings? That's not what this is about. What it's about is that the Bears have to be better than not just the Packers and the Lions and the Vikings. They've got to be able to be one of the top teams in the NFC. And I think that the NFC, just like another year of them just being daunting. This conference is daunting. We just saw San Francisco. And boy, if you really want to model your team after a ball club that was able to go from the doormat with Chip Kelly to what we see now, it's really interesting to watch. San Francisco was a team that was in last place, really wasn't thought about. They bottomed out and was able to get back based on one trade, one acquisition, and that's Jimmy Garoppolo. The quarterback position was so important. It's so important in 2020. It's so important all the time because everything's tailored toward the offense. So they hit Garoppolo. They have Kittle at tight end. They have weapons at wide receiver. They've got a good running game in Mostert. And so that's where the Bears need to be. Not just for a year, but they need to be there on a regular basis. You take a look at the NFC with Dallas and Philadelphia. Dallas, they have underachieved. There's no doubt. Davis is a Dallas fan. So he knows that the team has been good, but not good enough to be a perennial winner, to be in the playoffs every year vying for the championship. But who wouldn't want Dak Prescott? Who wouldn't want Zeke Elliott running the football? Who wouldn't want Amari Cooper and a strong defense? The same thing with Philadelphia. With Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson and Carson Wentz as a quarterback, you like those weapons, and you compare what those teams have in the NFC East to the Bears. In the NFC South, when we talk about the Saints have now another target for Drew Brees. One thing about the Saints, they're not going to shortchange a veteran quarterback in Brees and say, well, we'll just try to figure some things out. It's not about that. It's about going all in, chips to the middle of the table, in order for a team to be able to have a chance at the championship. A chance. And so they were able to have not only Alvin Kamara running the football, Michael Thomas, who's a terrific wide receiver, but also Emmanuel Sanders, part of that mix as well. And then you go to the Bucks in the NFC South. Tom Brady, he's the GOAT. He may be able to raise the level of the Bucks, maybe, maybe not. But the Bucks were able to pay 2 years, $50-plus million to Tom Brady and Mike Evans and Howard, the tight end. Same thing in the NFC West with the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks and the Rams. It's not about the North. It's about the conference. How can the Bears compete in the NFC? That's the big question mark. Because otherwise, all this talk about Trubisky or Foles or whether or not they should have Cam Newton or not, that doesn't matter. It matters is that have you done your due diligence? Have you done enough to say we're one of the best teams in the NFC? And I will tell you that even based on what we've seen here in the offseason, the Bears are no better than the fifth or sixth team in the NFC. Maybe worse than that when it gets all already done. So we'll see. But so far, so okay. Not bad, but they still need to be able to add more for sure. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the brand new ESPN Chicago app. We turn to an NBA veteran, a man who covers the NBA like a blanket. It is Ryan Hollins. He joins me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Ryan, as always, I appreciate it, my man. How are you?
What's going on, brother? I'm doing solid here with the family. We're kind of hanging out, man. School, work, play, all in one stop.
Yeah, well, I've had a call in New York, so I want to find out what happened there. Now I'm calling out in L.A. Give us the scene, because here in Chicago, we're locked down, and the same thing in New York is even worse. So set that scene for us in L.A. regarding, because that was the first state that I heard that was going to be shut down here.
Yeah, here in Los Angeles, things almost look like a ghost town. The neighborhood that I live in, I have rarely seen one of my neighbors. Couldn't point them out of a lineup. And now I've seen more of my neighbors than I've ever seen, you know, out and walking. I've looked up into the skies, the L.A. skies, and they're clear. The roads are somewhat ghost townish. You know, you'll see, you know, a level of traffic, but for L.A., we have some of the worst traffic in the entire world, I like to say. And you don't see too many people driving and moving around. Everyone, in a sense, is quarantined. And I've heard everything from, you know, hey, we've got a pandemic on our hands, is absolutely wild, to, hey, you know, it'll subside in a little while. So I think, you know, everybody just has a little bit of questions. I know the youth are kind of clawing at the bit and, you know, ready to get out and get moving. And I would like to advise even some of those young people, man, at the time, listen, quarantine, take this serious. You know, if you're going to go out and get some fresh air, you know, protect yourself. And, you know, above all, you know, if you have one rule, you know, assume everyone has it. But in L.A., this is it's a little different. You go, why? Even like all the food spots are saying takeout only. And, you know, there's a restaurant every corner here. So it's intriguing times here in Los Angeles and even just beyond that in the world.
There's no question about that. It's a very tough time. But, you know, as far as the NBA is concerned, there's questions from Adam Silver, also from Mark Cuban, on whether or not we're going to see the NBA again. And so, I mean, just like President Trump may not know, like I don't know, I don't have the information. I just kind of out of top of my head, it's like, man, it would be interesting if the NBA returned, say, around Memorial Day or June 1st. And again, we don't know when sports will be back again, Ryan, but if it was available, would the NBA move forward if, say, for instance, June 1st was the day to start the playoffs?
Yeah, I absolutely believe if there's an opportunity for the NBA to move forward, they would. And at this point, it's much more than a game. But, you know, what you'd have to call for is the quarantining of the players through the season. So you may have a situation where guys – can't go out and just go to a restaurant or go hang out, and you know, maybe you're locked in with your loved ones, and you know, there's testing going to be going around the clock. Because the thing about the NBA family is one player gets it, and this thing is so contagious. Maybe it's not as deadly as we've seen things in the past, even though it is deadly, but it's so contagious that the entire NBA would have the coronavirus. So that's really the problem there. So I believe if, you know, possibly there's a test in play where there can be, you know, daily tests going amongst these players and safety quarantines in place, you know, possibly we could get somewhat of a season going. Or, you know, I wouldn't even be against going to Las Vegas per se, or somewhere that can hold and do a March Madness style tournament with all, you know, 30 NBA teams, you know, whatever it may be. And I just think, you know, as a nation, man, sports has gotten me through some tough times, man. And that's what's really jarring about this situation, that we don't get to watch our sports in these moments.
No, bro. No. 16, not 30. You don't try to get your Atlanta Hawks into the top eight. That's no, bro. Don't try to slip the bad teams in there. 16. This is done. The regular season's done, bro. Like, I don't know why you're trying to get Trae Young in the playoffs, but that's not happening. 16. Not 30.
Hey, You'd like to see a Trae Young LeBron matchup, or Trae Young versus Milwaukee, man?
No, I do not want to see that. If you've been bad, you don't deserve to come back. Like, stay out. Like, but give me the top 16. And here's what is vital. And Eric brought this up earlier. It makes sense. So there's a number of teams that look at this time and says, okay, if there's no season, man, that means that we got to look toward 2020-2021. And I get that. But isn't this vital for other teams? Say, for instance, the Clippers. Bingo. Let's talk about the Clippers for a second, right? So because of the contract situation with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, I mean, I'm sure Steve Ballmer wanted a couple of shots at the apple here, not just one. So, I mean, for him and also LeBron James as well. I see LeBron's videos. He's working out. But at the same time, Mother Nature and, you know, Father Time is not guaranteed. So there's a couple of storylines here working as there's no basketball, is it not?
Yeah, you couldn't be more right. In terms of the Clippers, they have a real chance, you know, not favorites to go out and win a championship this year, the way they've assembled their versatility and depth in that lineup. Like you said, LeBron isn't getting any younger, and I assure you LeBron's in the gym somewhere running and conditioning. He's definitely got the means. And, there's a couple players that have just probably completely shut it down and hanging out. And you got a couple that are going hard and conditioning and finding their way into a local gym or getting a high school coach to open the doors up in a small group. So, man, these are interesting times. And, you know, you look at a situation, like you said, as free agency looms and say, well, you know, what am I going to do? We've kind of assembled this team for this year to win right now. So, you know, could we see a situation where the NBA contracts are honored into next year and, we don't have the same class of free agents? You know, it's really intriguing to see how this would happen, because if you are a team that's built for the now, you've got to win now. And you're right. We're talking Lakers. We're talking Clippers. We're even talking the Milwaukee Bucks because, you know, Giannis isn't a free agent quite yet, but he's got there's some time there. Well, they have to have a good showing for him. And if they didn't, you know, kind of have a play for the championship or come out the East, Jonathan, I mean, what's going on there?
Interesting. And the same and the other Clippers news, and I was so happy to see this. Om Young-Masuk from ESPN put it out there. Now, you tell me what kind of New Jack-ish is this. Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, gets a venue, a famed venue, the Forum in Inglewood. You were there as a kid, right? He now is going to be the owner of the Forum, and he paid $400 million in cash for it. What kind of gangster stuff is this?
Man.
Cash?
There's this historical prestige about the Great Western Forum, where you think Magic Johnson, you know, you think Kareem, you go back through time. You know, I grew up here in L.A. You know, I'm an L.A. kid. Like, dude, for him to buy that, make no mistake, this is our town. And when you drive around L.A., the Clippers have signs up that go, you know, street lights over spotlights or like Hollywood lights or show lights pretty much. Mm-hmm. And it's a shot directly at the Lakers. And I can't think of an even bigger play than renaming the Great Western Forum, dude. I don't care how you put it, how you spin it, planting the Clippers logo and name. And I remember when Doc Rivers first came over, you know, to the Clippers, we were there. And the first thing Doc said is, I don't know how you guys feel, but I'm tired of looking at Laker banners when we play our games. We're covering those things up. I don't care what it costs. We're covering it up, and we're going to put big old banners of, you know, Blake Griffin and DeAndre and Chris and those guys and put our guys up there, because we're gonna make our own name. And, you know, buying the Forum, man, that's it. Whew, that's a shocker to L.A., brother.
That's huge. That is really huge, man. Yeah. And because the Clippers have been so good, yeah, it's the old Laker building, but I'm sure it's going to be cleaned up. And there's venues, there's music concerts and stuff still going on in the old Forum, right?
Yeah, there are. My wife went to a Bruno Mars concert over there, so No, there's things going on. There's definitely things going on in Inglewood over there. It's a beautiful area, man. It's a beautiful area to go do things. And I know the community has been clamoring for, you know, basketball shows and events to get back. So you're really good to see that area lighting up. You got LAFC, the football club over there. So, LA, south of the 10 freeway is starting to flourish.
All right, last thing I have for you, I appreciate your time. And I'm giving you some of these things because you need this for the 17 jobs you have. You need some of these takes. So you could just, you need some of these things. I mean, I'm just going to hand you one. Put this in your phone. Tom Brady, LeBron James, make the parallel. Go ahead and make that case. I'm sure, with Broussard somewhere, or when you're doing a show on HGTV, or when you're on CNN, whatever. I mean, you'll use that stuff. I understand. But the question is, during this time, Ryan, this is a time for evaluation for teams to figure out what they want in the draft. March Madness is not around. That was an evaluation time. Portsmouth is closed. I don't think, at least I don't believe, scouts and players are coming to Chicago like they normally do, because I enjoy watching it when it comes to Quest. So how do you evaluate talent if there is no tournament? Because if there is no tournament, I don't think Ja Morant is chosen twice in the number two spot in the draft last year.
Well, what really hurts right now is the college seniors. You don't get to see who can just flat out play basketball. But for a lot of these kids, you watch them all year long. They know who they are. They know who Obi Toppin is. They know the kid over at Georgia, Anthony. I'm forgetting his name. But a lot of the scouts, they've seen hours and hours of tape on these guys. You won't have the opportunity to see them in person, and that's where it really hurts. Quite possibly, you may not get the personality test with these kids. So you're really, I don't want to say taking a shot in the dark, but that's somewhat what it is. And when you're drafting for the league, you've got two things that you go after. Two things that you go after. I want you to remember this. One, potential. Who can you be? Can you be a franchise player? And secondly, if you're late in the first round, you want to get a guy who can play right now, a guy who's ready. So I'll give you two examples from the Lakers. You looked at Brandon Ingram. You knew Brandon Ingram was potential. He had star power to be a franchise player one day, and we see that somewhat coming into fruition over in New Orleans. Now, you looked at a Kyle Kuzma, a guy who was, I believe, a four-year college guy. Kyle Kuzma was ready to play right now. Nobody knew how good he was. He was going to be this good, but you knew Kyle Kuzma was a little older, but he knew how to play and he could come in and contribute. So that's how they'll kind of sort out how they go out and draft these players and look at these kids. But it absolutely is going to hurt those college seniors who that's their best look. Look, Jonathan, we wouldn't be on the phone right now. I was not on an NBA draft board in my team, UCLA, back in 06. We make it to the final game of the championship, and I was 10 spots away from the last pick in the draft. So this hurts a lot of guys, man. It hurts a lot of guys. And always there's that gem or that diamond in the rough, that Dwayne Wade. Remember the run that Dwayne Wade had? Or like you brought out Ja Morant, you're not going to have an opportunity to see.
I'm glad you spent some time. I just want to check in with you and see that the family's good in California. And we'll talk again soon. But no Atlanta in a revised format. No bad teams. Just top 16, bro. June 1st. Let's do this. June 1st, top 16, L.A. against L.A. Let's do it.
Oh, my gosh. I thought it was a 20-team format, man. I thought it was 2016,
no.
Man.
No,
I thought
that's
what we're doing, man.
No, that means I have to watch the Bulls again. I don't want to see that again. Nobody wants to see
it. Oh, my gosh. No. Listen, if anything comes back, Chicago's coming back, man.
Oh, for God's sakes. Nobody wants to see that nonsense. Thank you, Ryan.
All right, brother. Hey, appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon. I have nothing else to do, okay?
I don't believe that. Ryan Hollins with us here on ESPN 1000. Coming up, so we talk about basketball. What about baseball? What's baseball going to do? Because opening day, what was it, Eric? Opening day is supposed to be Thursday?
It's 2 days away. Are you excited? Wait.
Well, no. I mean, we're supposed to be hosting the baseball show.
I know.
Show now.
That, exactly. That was supposed to start yesterday.
So, but there's no baseball show. So that's supposed to be my new gig, but there's no baseball show. But how is this affected with COVID-19? We'll talk about that. And don't forget, Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday right around the corner coming up at 9:30 on UTH.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000.
Checking out the poll questions at ESPN 1000. Based on their offseason moves, are the Bears a playoff team? 52% of you say no. That's close. 52% say no. Also, who would you like to see as your game one starter for the Bears? Cam Newton, Nick Foles, or Mitch Trubisky? Have you seen the poll, Eric?
Not seen the results in a while.
What do you think the poll question said? What do you think it is?
I'm going to say the Bears fans think Cam should be the starter. I think they like the name recognition better than they like Foles and Trubisky.
It's kind of crazy, right?
I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with this, though.
You only like the hat. That's all, the hat and the weird scarf.
I was going to say, and the ascot. Don't leave out the ascot, please.
Well, I don't know what he does in his spare time, but nonetheless, I just think it, I don't, 44% say Cam Newton, and 36% is Nick Foles, right?
Okay.
So, but here's the thing. It's not the Cam Newton that we saw before. How do you know what Cam looks like post-injury? I don't even know if he's healthy.
We have no idea if that ankle is even anywhere close to what it can be. And he had issues with his shoulder, like his throwing arm. So he's got a lot of questions. It's worrisome for sure. But it would be more exciting going into the season with the potential of maybe a healthy Cam than, really, in my opinion, two backups on the roster in Foles and Trubisky.
But what if you get the same thing Denver got from Peyton Manning? They got that 1 year of greatness. A motivated Peyton Manning. You're getting a motivated Cam Newton. He's going to be super motivated. You know he's upset. He was the face of that franchise. He got released unceremoniously.
Yeah.
Like, with no fanfare, no love. Whatever team gets him is getting a very motivated quarterback. And his body might fall apart the next year. Mm-hmm. But for that 1 year, I think he raises his level of his game.
Of course. Let me make sure this is clear, too. We got TWT right around the corner. Let me make sure this is very clear, too. If Cam Newton was the guy, the Bears still need weapons. Am I right, guys? I mean, either way, Cam can only do so much, just like Trubisky or Foles can only do so much. You still don't have a tight end.
I was going to say, who was his favorite target? It was Greg Olsen, and we do not have someone in that position for the Bears at all.
Had a chance to get Greg Olsen.
See? And I'm cool with not having, and Greg Olsen not being with the Bears. I'm not holding on to him just because he was a great Bear or a solid Bear. Find someone even better than Olsen and Graham.
Yeah.
See, I'm not about name recognition. I'm about production. Next level guys that can help. So even if Cam was here, you still are a one wide receiver down, still a tight end down. You still got to be able to fill a few holes on the line. So no matter who the quarterback is, they got to do better than Allen Robinson and Montgomery run the football. So, you know, to me, it's not about Nate. It's like, who can help Cam or Trubisky or Foles in this spot? That's on Ryan Pace. Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. What's up with WrestleMania? No fans at WrestleMania? We'll address it next.
Wrestling fans, are you ready?
This is Tuesday.
You people bought a ticket to see me, so shut up.
Wrestling Tuesday with Jonathan Hood.
First of all, Dusty Rhodes, I think what you are is a big, ugly, low-class redneck goof. That's what I think you are.
Yeah, I put it. I know I put it. But most of all, the baddest man around in the world today.
Follow the show at Wrestling TWT on Twitter and Instagram.
But remember, my fireflies, as always, I'll light the way. And all you have to do is let me in.
Tuesday, Wrestling Tuesday.
The bottom line is, in all my magnificence, you're gonna be mine all night long.
Here's Jonathan Hood.
It's Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday with Jonathan Hood right here on ESPN 1000, the brand new ESPN Chicago app. So glad that you're with us. Every Tuesday night, we give you the best in wrestling conversation / sports entertainment. You can find Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday on Twitter at WrestlingTWT. Don't forget about our YouTube page as well, youtube.com. Look for Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday and hit the subscribe button. Even though there are no fans at a lot of these events for pro wrestling, there's still pro wrestling taking place. You know, WrestleMania is right around the corner in Tampa, which is now going to be 2 days. AEW still rolling shows in Jacksonville at Daly's Place with no fans. And to join us to talk about all the storylines around pro wrestling is Mike Johnson from PWInsider.com. Go to that website, PWInsider.com, as we talk to our friend Mike Johnson right here on Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. Mike, as always, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure, Jonathan. What else do I have to do these days?
Exactly. Mike, I want to get your insight on what WrestleMania could look like using the New Japan Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom model for a 2-day event for the first time.
Yeah, so the word that I heard, actually probably about an hour before we even sat down, was that they were looking at doing 8 matches each night. And obviously everything's in flux and that can change. They're going to pre-tape WrestleMania this week down in Florida at a couple of different locations. But the word we had heard was they were going to do 8 matches on the for the Saturday broadcast, 8 matches for the Sunday broadcast. That way there would be 16 matches total. I mean, you would think that the second night's going to close out with Brock Lesnar against Drew McIntyre. Edge versus Randy Orton, we're hearing in the Last Man Standing match, they're going to give that a lot of attention. I wouldn't be shocked to see that main event the first night, just because it's Edge's first big singles match back in 9 years. While it's the timing of it is unfortunate, and that fans won't get to have that immediate gratification of watching it live, and the performers don't get that gratification of performing in front of fans live, it's still an important moment for Adam Copeland. You know, and we saw how emotional that was for him at the Royal Rumble when he came back. I think Orton and Edge is going to get a lot of attention that first night. That's just my gut feeling. You know, the lineup's good. There's some weird matches they've added to the undercard, but I think that's, hey, let's try and get everybody on the show as much as possible. It's going to be a strange WrestleMania because the number one thing that everybody loves about pro wrestling is that connectivity between the performer and the audience, and that electricity that you get watching the performance. And we'll still be able to watch it on pay-per-view and the WWE Network and all that, but a lot of that live electricity that people live for as wrestling fans, that sort of roller coaster ride that you go on, it's going to be a different element now, and that energy won't be blazing through the television to the viewers either. It's you know, as we've seen, they've tried to kind of fine-tune and figure out the right formula for the WWE television programs in recent weeks, and it wasn't until All Elite Wrestling did Dynamite that somebody in WWE went, "Eureka! We should do it like that!" And if you watch the most recent episode of Raw, it was shot very similar to how AEW had shot Dynamite the week before. So I think WrestleMania, you know, if it's me, I look at it like this. We have no audience. The normal physics of what people expect WrestleMania to be are thrown out the window. Let's just push the envelope. Let's get a little more theatrical with it. Let's do different locations. Let's kind of do some guerrilla warfare style shooting on the street. Let's push things. Let's shoot it differently. Let's go a little wacky with special effects, especially with someone like The Undertaker against AJ Styles. And we don't have to worry about spoilers floating out, most likely. Let's just push it as hard as we can, and whether we like it or not, the situation that we're all in, the WrestleMania show is going to be completely historical and completely unique, because let's say, best case scenario, things get back to normal, right? Mm-hmm. By the time we get to SummerSlam or the next big pay-per-view, it'll be back to the traditional presentation of what we expect the World Wrestling Entertainment broadcast to be. This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and they should probably just push the envelope, and even if it's a little hokey or a little goofy or a little silly and a little bit more cartoonish this year than it's been the last couple of years, you know what? Push the envelope, and I say go as crazy as you can with it, because at the end of the day, they are basically putting themselves in the position where they're trying to distract people and make them happy and give them something other than this pandemic to worry about and stress about. So if they can give us 4 or 5 hours of that a night, two straight nights, that's a wonderful gift, I think, for anybody who's watching the show. But I say just, you know, take the home run, go for the home, take the bat, go for the home run, run the bases, and do it as loudly and as crazy and as garishly as possible. Just go all out. That's just how I feel. And I'm traditionally a wrestling purist. I don't want to watch, for me, I want to watch great wrestling, but I feel like this show, which has always been about spectacle and craziness, you know, the pomp and circumstance will have to be different this year. So push it in a different direction and just go, go, go. Because what we've seen on their Raw and their SmackDown broadcast is the character-driven stuff has worked better than the actual in-ring wrestling. So I say go crazy with the character stuff.
This is sweet karma in a strange way, Mike Johnson, because what Vince has never wanted is wrestling. He wanted to have this big spectacle, and now his shows are looking like ICW in the past. He should just paint fans on. just paint the fans, you know, or just go crazy. Go Team Challenge Series like Vern at the end at AWA and just, you know, pipe in the fans and just have a B-roll of fans.
And
who knows?
I've written this on PW Insider, but inside the Performance Center, they have a room. They call it the 3D suite. And there's a wrestling ring in there, a full-size wrestling ring. And imagine, like, when they film Star Wars, you see, like, the green screen. Mm-hmm. It's 360-degree green screen. So they could put a wrestling match on the moon if they wanted, you know, and have the moon be the background. And I don't know that they're going to utilize that for the WrestleMania. But I would think if there's ever a time to try and roll out some crazy CGI technology and use it for pro wrestling, that this is probably the time and place. So maybe we'll see some of that technology utilized, or maybe we'll see them try and experiment more. You know, it wasn't all that long ago, a couple of years ago, that they were experimenting with the images being shot down to the ring when Randy Orton was wrestling Bray Wyatt at the one WrestleMania, and they had the worms and the other things being projected down to the ring. You know, who knows what this means for Bray Wyatt against John Cena? They could just film a whole match in the Firefly Funhouse.
Right.
You know, we've got a Boneyard match, which, they haven't really explained what that is with AJ Styles and The Undertaker, but I'm assuming they're filming it in a graveyard or a graveyard-like setting. So, I mean, I think we're going to see them go a little crazy with the environments, and it'll probably be more like, maybe like a backyard wrestling video game than a traditional WWE broadcast.
What is the hottest match for you for WrestleMania so far?
See, it was Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar, and I kind of, like, this is nobody's fault. All of this has been foisted upon all of us, but I do feel like Drew McIntyre fought and scratched and kicked and punched his way from wrestling oblivion back to being employed by WWE and then getting a main event at WrestleMania, and for him not to have that in front of the crowd, not have that moment of victory in front of family and friends, if that's where they're going, that kind of blunts to me the importance of that match. I am very interested in Shayna Baszler versus Becky Lynch. I think they've done a great job of building up Shayna Baszler as this monster threat to Becky. I liked the initial angle where she attacked Becky and bit her in the back of the neck and came up like Freddie Blassie as the vampire from the old Los Angeles territory and things like that. And I thought like the promos and the interviews from each of them have been excellent. And even this week on Monday Night Raw, where Shayna was in the darkened ring being interviewed by Charlie Caruso, and then Becky out of nowhere, out of the darkness, like Batman strikes, you know, and hits her with the chair and leaves her out and just walks away with this sort of smug, happy smile, like, I finally got my pound of flesh. Like, I feel like there's something interesting there. And the other match that I really want to watch is, you know, here's Rhea Ripley, 23 years old. 4 years ago, she wasn't even in the company. She's going to be making her WrestleMania debut, the first time an NXT title is defended on a WrestleMania stage against Charlotte Flair, who's one of the 1% best wrestlers in the world today, not even female wrestlers, just best performers in the world. And Charlotte Flair is someone who always delivers on a major stage. Rhea Ripley has delivered tremendously anytime she's been given the opportunity. And in a perfect world, that would be taking place in front of 70,000 people in Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. But how much pressure and how much electricity must Rhea Ripley be feeling, knowing that this is the biggest opportunity of her life, and a great match with Charlotte, win or lose, will make her, because WrestleMania will still be the time capsule for this year. It's a twisted, weird, awkward time capsule that's, you know, definitive of the, or defining in the way that the, you know, the sort of vortex that we're in at the moment is defining the current culture, but it'll still be the time capsule. So while there won't be that immediate gratification or those major moments of thousands of fans jumping up and down with excitement, I do think a lot of these definitive moments for 2020 are going to come from that show for WWE. I mean, I don't think there's a bad match on the show, to be honest with you.
Mike, it's interesting about how news develops. Sometimes you're not even looking for it, and it sometimes just pops up on your phone, or you're just doing one search and you find something else. I want to just direct people to pwinsider.com for a story I find very interesting. So there's a fan asking Saudi Arabia, where's the WWE network? And the response from the network is, well, thanks for reaching out. Our sincerest apologies for the inconvenience. WWE network will not be available in Saudi Arabia until further notice. Well, what's that?
I mean, was there a release? That is a great question. No one seems to be willing to clarify that yet. But it's not been the first time that WWE has said, hey, we've got this relationship with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and we're waiting to sign this TV deal. We've got this 10-year deal to produce events. And then when it comes time for their financials to be announced, the money hasn't been received by Saudi Arabia, or the deal hasn't been signed yet. So, and that doesn't make investors happy. So there, it appears behind the scenes, although neither side will obviously ever comment on this publicly, there's been a little bit of a tug of war over the situation, and it may be that the WWE network's been pulled in that country until things are kind of ironed out. We'll see. They weren't going back there, I think. They had talked about August, and then I think the return date is now going to be like the first week in November, mm-hmm. tentatively. So they have time to iron it out before anyone goes over there. So we'll see what happens.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
How you doing?
Follow us on the gram at IGJHood and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
I find it interesting that the WWE was on my company on the one of the platforms of ESPN, just seeing some of the old WrestleManias on ESPN. I'm wondering, in your gut feeling, do you think that there's a likely deal with ESPN or DAZN or one of these streaming services? Because all we keep hearing is the WWE might want to take some of their tentpole events and be able to ship them off someplace else to be able to garner money for them. What's your gut feeling on that?
Well, WWE had said, Vince McMahon had said, that if they made an announcement that some of these events were going to be going to streaming services, it would be done by the end of the first quarter, which would be the end of March, which we're just a couple of, you know, not too far away from. However, the current pandemic throws everything into it, and all the plans have been thrown out with all the wrenches. So I don't know what that means. However, you know, we had heard that they were talking with NBC Universal about the Peacock, which is going to be the NBC streaming service that launches this summer. It's going to have like new episodes of Saved by the Bell and things like that. But you would think they've had a strong relationship with WWE, so you would think they would kind of have the inside baseball sort of. You know, they'd be more likely. But there's definitely been chatter in the last month or so that ESPN Plus, which obviously already has a huge money making deal with UFC. Was talking to WWE, and maybe the ESPN WrestleMania broadcasts are kind of like the feeling out process, you know, like, hey, let's go out to dinner and see if we get along before we start dating, you know, or mm-hmm. hey, water's fine, come on in, let's see if we can go do some laps in the pool together. You know, I think it would be silly to dismiss the idea that ESPN Plus, which is owned by Disney, which is a huge, massive thing that has bought everything else in my childhood, from Star Wars to Marvel to the Muppets, to dismiss that, hey, they might be willing to purchase WWE and create a system similar to UFC, which is you have to subscribe to ESPN and then you have to pay per event. The real question is, can WWE and a potential streaming partner get fans who have now become acclimated over the last 6 years to paying $10 a month to get everything now start to pay an additional fee for certain events or additional fee per event? I don't know. It'll be an interesting social experiment to see what happens. But I would not dismiss ESPN Plus partnering with WWE down the line. I think anybody who dismisses anything at this stage of the game, where WWE is obviously looking to create a new viable revenue stream for themselves, would be silly to do so.
Mike Johnson for PWInsider.com with Jonathan Hood on Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday on ESPN 1000, the brand new ESPN Chicago app. So how much has this pandemic, Mike, really hurt the indie scene economically?
Oh, it wiped it out because you can't run shows. Okay, well, I mean, all right, so, you know, let's compare it to Broadway, right? So you buy a ticket to Broadway, you go to Broadway, you're buying food and drinks or whatever at the theater. Maybe you're buying a T-shirt. Maybe you're buying the program. Maybe you're buying some other piece of merchandise related to the show. If that show doesn't happen, no one's buying shirts. No one's buying the program. No one's buying merchandise. No one's buying dinner. No one's buying drinks. No one's paying for parking. No one's paying for anything. It all stops. This shutdown with Chicago, with New York, with L.A., with a bunch of other markets and other cities and other states, it has shut down the independent wrestling industry. There are a few promotions running non-shows with no crowds in it and streaming them. But if you're an indie wrestler, right, if you're Jonathan Hood the Great, and you've got 25 bookings in the next month, you're planning to drive to those bookings, sell your merchandise, get paid to take those bumps, right?
Yep.
Well, you're not getting paid to wrestle. Since you're not getting paid to wrestle, you're not making any merchandise money. Because you're not making any merchandise money, maybe you don't have money to put gas in your car now. So now you're just hanging around at home. And I've seen a lot of wrestlers doing, like, some sort of different fundraising and other things. But this is a business that, you know, you have to keep running and you have to run on that treadmill. You have to do that grind. And if you shut the door and you're unable to move, if you can't get in the car, you can't turn the key to turn it on. And that's kind of where we are now. We're all waiting for the permission to turn the key so we can all get back to the gears moving. And the real question is, when is it safe, especially in something like pro wrestling? Locker rooms, small independent shows, these are close quarters. All it's going to take is one person who's sick to walk into a locker room, forget the person that they're wrestling with, but you know, one brief cough or they touch something and you're in close quarters and now potentially 20, 30 people could have caught it and then it goes to their circle and so on. So, I mean, this is, until there's a viable vaccine, this is going to have to change indie wrestling. People are going to be far more concerned. They're going to be far more careful. They're going to be far more hygienic in terms of making sure that the ring and the ropes and the buildings are cleaner. I mean, this is for an independent wrestler, this is the death knell for quite a while, and it's going to take a while before things get back up to normal.
Mike, lastly, I want to get your thoughts on AEW. You mentioned that what they did at Daly's Place in Jacksonville, it was brilliant because it just made sense. It shows you some experience in the back in which you have producers that say, you know what, if we turn this camera around and not use the traditional hard camera angle, maybe this will work out and it looked great. They've done a nice job with it. What are your thoughts on AEW and the job that they've done so far during this time?
Okay, so I'm not saying this because Tony Khan is an Illinois guy, but Chicago should be very proud of Tony Khan and his team, because out of all of the wrestling broadcasts that took place up until that point, it was basically a small, drab, dark WWE show with some fancy lighting. AEW Dynamite, that episode that aired from, I think it was close set in Jacksonville, it looked and felt so bright and alive and full of energy. And I understand why certain people are like, well, this wasn't cool because they had too many people close to each other. But having the heels on one side of the ring and having the baby faces, the heroes on the other side of the ring, all making ambient noise and playing up their characters. First of all the characterization stuff felt like it came out of a 1980s Saturday Night Main Event vignettes.
Yeah.
It was all great MJF betting with Sean Spears and Colt Cabana doing his silly thing and all that. But to me, like, that ambient noise and that electricity and that sort of rambunctious feel, that's what pro wrestling should feel like. And up until then, we had Steve Austin going, "Give me a hell yeah!" And they show empty chairs. Like, let's just make light of the fact that we can't watch this live. You know,
right.
It is like, I knew they were going, so WWE was trying to lean into the silly, and to me, it there was a disconnect with the audience. AEW kind of went, listen, we got to all come together, but we can't live in fear, which we, you know, you can't live in fear, but at the same time, it's a scary time, so you got to be careful. And then they tried to just put on the best show that they could and put on a bunch of great wrestling matches in front of a fun environment. And by the end, with Matt Hardy showing up and then the former Luke Harper, Brody Lee showing up, there was a feeling of, like, major milestone things that happened here, newsworthy things that happened here. We weren't treading water. We were trying to run the motorboat as fast as we could. And who knows if they'll be able to follow that up and continue that this coming week or in ensuing weeks. But AEW was like a phoenix rising, you know, out of the grave for pro wrestling and shining through the sky last Wednesday. And I'm not shocked the rating was so well for them. I think they had a little under a million people. But I feel like it galvanized wrestling fans in a way that WWE could have had the chance to do, especially with Steve Austin on Raw. Like, imagine if Steve Austin had been General George Patton giving the "we're going to get through this" speech.
Mm-hmm.
How many wrestling fans would have been inspired by that? But they chose not to go that direction. They went for the silly, where he kicked Byron Saxton in the groin and hit him with the stunner and things like that. They went for the silly. AEW, I feel they kind of galvanized the audience to make them feel like, you're not alone, we're here with you, and here's some kick-ass wrestling to get you through the night. And I think that's what the general populace needs right now. They need hope, they need to be excited, they need something that's going to inspire them. And I think All Elite Wrestling did a phenomenal job last week of being those talents and that company to kind of make people sit up and go, it's okay to take a deep breath and let it out. It's okay to relax a little and enjoy yourself. And that's what they did, and they should be commended for that.
Thank you so much. Mike Johnson from BWInsider.com with us on Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. Catch us next Tuesday, and don't forget to follow along on Twitter @WrestlingTWT.